Well, the good news today is that Pastor Mark is going to be back next Sunday to preach. And I know you'll want to invite somebody to come with you for this homecoming. It's been a real privilege for me to share in this time through these Sundays, some of them, when Mark has been gone. I want to do everything I could to make his time away a good time. We could rest and relax and do what he needed to do to get that back operating again. So be sure, and when you hug him next Sunday, be very careful, okay? Annie Dillard, in her autobiography, An American Childhood, tells a story of a man who went into a lumber yard one day and said he needed some lumber, some 4x2s. The clerk said, you mean 2x4s, don't you? He went to his car where some friends were sitting and talked to them a little bit, and then he came back in and said, yeah, that's right, I want some 2x4s. The clerk said, how long do you want them? He said, just a minute. He went back to the car and talked to his friends again and came back and said, I want them for a long time. We're building a house. Life goes on a long time. And in all that time, it's important to find images and power that will sustain us in times of difficulty, when we're challenged and under stress. And our scripture reminds us, if we can recall it at that point, that we belong to God, and whatever happens, we're part of God's family. We're linked to God and to each other. I began to really become aware of this in a more personal way when, years ago, we received a greeting from friends that had been a part of the first church that I served as a professional, first as youth director and then as associate pastor, Woodlawn Methodist Church in San Antonio, Texas. Our San Antonio friends wrote that they had been in Europe for vacation and on the way back changed planes in Kennedy Airport in New York. And while they were there in the airport, they began to talk to a young woman who was coming home from Ankara, Turkey, to attend the wedding of her daughter in Tucson. And our friend said, we know a young minister who moved from Texas to Tucson. And she said, it isn't Orly White by any chance, is it? She was the secretary of the church that I was serving in Tucson. Tucson, San Antonio, meeting in New York while changing planes. I thought, wow, how often can that happen? What's going on? 2 years later, members of this church, Wing and Joyce Marr, were attending a medical convention in Sweden. And they were in a smorgasbord and began to talk with a woman who was standing behind them. They found out that she had attended our church in Tucson. I'd held a memorial service for her husband. Redondo Beach, Tucson, same pastor. Well, I told that story once many years ago, and Clyde Voss, who was a longtime member of this church and very faithful with his family, sent me this story out of his experience. In 1965, and I'll use his pronoun, in 1965 while I was the commander of a fighter combat crew training unit in Arizona. I was visited by a general officer for orientation purposes. My wife and I had the general as our guest for dinner one of the nights during his visit. And during our conversation, we began to talk about where we grew up, where we came from. And I said that my mother lived in San Antonio, Texas. And he said his mother lived there too. And then he asked, where in San Antonio does she live? And I said, Terrell Hills. He said that his mother also lived in Terrell Hills and asked, what street? And I said, Canterbury Hill. He said, my mother lives on the same street. Of course, he asked what street number she lived at, and I replied, 225. He then said that his mother lived at 226. Later, I told my mother this conversation, and she said that the general's mother was a dear friend and longtime acquaintance. I believe that there are signs, some of this nature, some of others, with us and for us, that God has created a network of grace, has woven us into a fabric that is larger than we are ever aware. James Joyce, in his short story, The Death, pictures a man named Conroy looking out a hotel window at snow falling gently to the ground. And Conroy has an epiphany, for he feels as he watches the snow that he is connected with his family, with all those who've been at the dinner party, with all the living, and all the dead. And he felt himself changed, renewed, as he experienced a sense of being connected to all the world. We have a sense of that. We know that our lives are connected and we are a part of a large family, and how large we can only imagine. In 1992, I was transferred from my appointment here to Escondido, First Church Escondido United, well, North San Diego County. And J.T. Greenleaf, who was our associate pastor here at the time, came out of that church. That was his home church when he went to seminary to go into ordained ministry. And of course, I knew that. But I didn't know that Richard Avery, whom I got acquainted with in seminary almost 40 years earlier, and with whom I worked in the same church in Dallas in field work, Richard Avery was the first person to go into ordained ministry from the Escondido United Methodist Church. And I also didn't know till I got there that Tom Dillard, who was the founding pastor of this congregation, was retired and living in Escondido and a part of our church there. During my more active years, I was privileged on some vacations to host and gather together groups for tours, cruises in various places through the years, and I see some of you remembering some of those wonderful times. And the last one was a Panama Canal cruise, and Jim and Nancy Power can tell you a story or two about how interesting that was. We'd been out of a port, San Diego, for maybe three nights, and I was getting up from dinner and heard this voice behind me saying, "I used to know a pastor named Orly White in Tucson, Illinois." It was Byron Haynes, who was a preacher, served St. James Church, which was the closest church to our Methodist Church, St. James United Methodist Church, and ours was St. Mark's. I hadn't seen him for maybe 30 years at least. And how unusual is that? That two people who had served together in the same district over many years, on the same cruise, eating at the same time, in the same part of the dining room where we ran into each other. My wife always says when we talk about any of these events, "I wonder how many other times we have missed someone who was nearby or who was there just before or just after we got there." In Ephesians, Paul reminds us that in Jesus Christ, we're God's children, heirs of God's, recipients of all that God has given to those who live in the Spirit, in the family of Jesus Christ. And Christians call this the fellowship of saints. That is, we are bound together. We are born into this fellowship through baptism, and we are a part of all the living and all the dead. God has woven us into a fabric of grace, one by one, as we are called to be a part of God's people. And we have experiences throughout our lives in which those who have been separated are brought together, maybe by a memory, maybe by a meeting, through some unexplainable way, we're brought together. I was in a conversation a week ago with Cheryl and Stephen Connors, and was sort of giving them a brief preview of what I was going to be dealing with today. And during the week, Cheryl wrote me a little note about a profound experience in the life of her family, and I asked her if she would share that with us today. So, Cheryl, thank you.
In the late 50s, my parents moved here from Columbus, Ohio. They lived in Columbus for 10 years before moving out to California. And they bought a brand new house in a brand new development in Rancho PV, which was sort of a wilderness area at that point. And that neighborhood was filling up with transplanted Midwesterners. And one day at a four-way stop sign in our neighborhood, my parents stopped and a voice yelled out, "Where in Ohio?" And there was a couple in another car with Ohio plates, and it was their first meeting with Alma and Joe. Turned out Alma and Joe had bought a house right around the corner from us, and my mom and Alma became very close friends. They helped each other navigate this whole new place and raise their families together, and they were best friends for more than 20 years. But things changed, and they sort of drifted apart, and then my father died, and mom decided to sell the house and move to a smaller place in Redondo. And she and Alma just never saw each other anymore. And then after many years, my mom developed dementia, and it left her with the inability to live on her own. And she really didn't remember much about her past. We found a place where she could have 24-hour care, and it was a nice, homey place. And she went in there willingly, but once she was there, she was very unhappy because she wasn't capable of adapting to a new environment, and she didn't have the ability to make new friends. She couldn't remember people. So every day she felt like she was living in a strange place surrounded by total strangers, and she was very tense. And then one day a woman moved in a couple doors away from her, and it was Alma. And there they were in the same situation. They had no recollection of one another at all, no memory of all those years before, and I really tried to make them remember. It seems sad to me that that was lost. But lo and behold, within a couple of weeks, they had bonded once again. And they were inseparable. They ate every meal together. They were in each other's rooms, and they shared each other's clothes. And it got to be a problem. The staff finally moved them in together as roommates because it was easier than trying to sort everything out all the time. It was the best solution for everyone involved. Together, they were once again able to help each other in a strange environment. And I was so amazed, and I will be forever grateful that these two women had this wonderful gift of friendship twice.
The sermon title really is mistitled. I don't know how to say it more briefly, but it's titled Chance Meetings. I believe it's more than chance. And I don't know exactly how to put it. I haven't learned that much or given that much insight into how the Spirit of God is at work in its full dimension. But I believe it is the Spirit of God in some way that again and again gives us an understanding and experience that helps us know it is grace, that fills our lives and leads us forward. Well, the most important story for me, the first Christmas when we lived in Tucson after having moved from Schulenburg, Texas, we received a Christmas card that was forwarded to us. Was from Jim and Florence French. The Frenches had been friends of my family, my mother and father, through my elementary school days in Lockport, Illinois. They're part of the Methodist Church that we belong to. My mother and Florence worked in the kitchen of that church. And I have a picture of them with their aprons on at some dinner that was served in the basement of the church. After my mother died, Florence became a kind of second mother for me. And I stayed in the French's home when I went back to Lockport to visit one summer after our family had moved to New Mexico. The French's had no children, and so I became, during the years, something of a son that they had never had. Their Christmas card had been forwarded to us, as I say, from Texas to Tucson. Because Florence was not aware that we had moved. The card included a note that they had moved from their retirement home in Briny Breezes, Florida, where they had been living because the Illinois winters were too difficult for Jim's health. It turned out that his health was declining even more. And the doctor said, "You cannot live in Florida anymore. You have to go to a dry climate." So they had moved to Tucson. I looked up the address, and they were living maybe 4 miles from where we lived. A part of the family reunited, and our boys had another set of grandparents. And every Sunday we worshiped together again in the same church. After a few years, I conducted Jim's funeral, and later I led the funeral service for Florence. There is, without doubt in my mind, a mysterious thread of grace connecting us to God in one family. Once more, Christmas is around the corner, a lonely season for some. And yet, I want you always to remember. You are known. You are loved. Aware of it or not, you are God's. And by grace, connected to us all in one way or another. Let us pray. Oh God, we are so grateful that we are not just spinning, dangling, walking alone. There are others who keep us in their prayers and who surround us with their love, even though we may not see them or know that at all. And by that love and by that prayer, connect us even more strongly to the God who has created us and walks beside us. And so let us live with the joy that comes from knowing that we will really never, ever be alone. Amen.